Look at verse 31 of Luke 1. Here's the third thing that Healy encouraged his daughter. He encouraged Mary to surrender to God's will. Now, humbly receiving is one thing. Listen to God. You see the progression? She's listening to God. That's good. He taught her to listen. Secondly, he taught her to humbly receive it. But look at this. I love this. He somehow encouraged her to surrender to God's will. Behold, this is what, verse 29, she was troubled. That's when she humbled herself. She's troubled, and she said, considering what manner of greeting this was, verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you've found favor with God." By the way, that's when Mary got saved. You know what it says? You've been discovered by the grace of God. You know what the grace of God is? Grace is when you deserve punishment, and God doesn't give you what you deserve. So Mary deserved punishment in hell forever. Mary was a guilty, desperate sinner, but God's grace discovered her. And if you're saved tonight, God's grace discovered you, and God's grace discovered me. So that was her conversion. It's very interesting. She calls him God, my Savior. And so that's wonderful. But let's keep reading. Verse 31, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, wow, how can this be? And you know, she struggled with it. But then, look at this. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me. What's she doing? Surrendering to God's will. Have you come to a place in your life where you can remember where you consciously surrendered to the will of God? If you haven't, you need to make a time, a choice, a place where you say, God, right here, right now, at this point, I surrender my will to you. I let go of the steering wheel of my life, and I surrender it to you. Then what you have to have is a lot of follow-up visits to that moment. That's why in the Old Testament we have a lot of geographic places. One of them is called Beth-El. That's where Jacob surrendered to God. And what do you find Jacob doing all the rest of his life? Going back to Bethel. Why? We have to go back and remember, oh, that's right, I took my hands off the steering wheel. Let me go back there. Okay, God, sorry I've been driving again. Could you take over? You know what's so neat is every time we get in the ditch, the Lord pulls us out, unbends us, gets us all cleaned off, puts us back in the road. That's what grace is all about. And then we get the choice to either start driving, go back in the ditch again, or to let him drive. You understand? It's wonderful. But the neat thing is God is the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance. In fact, if he told us to forgive each other 70 times 7, he says, I'm going to forgive you eternally. See, it's wonderful. I mean, what a deal, right? There's nothing like this on the planet. No one ever thought this up. God created this gracious offer of total forgiveness, total acceptance, never condemned, and saying, I'll drive your life, and every mile you let me drive, it'll be perfect and wonderful. And every time you take over, you're going to crash. But it's okay. I'll pull you out. You know what I mean? It's just, I mean, that's a child way of describing it, but that is what it's like. And Mary surrendered to God's will. And to think of what kind of a family she was in, that she was so full of the Word of God, that when God spoke, she listened, and when God presented something, she humbly accepted it, and when God directed her life, she surrendered to it. I was blessed. I got home, I don't know, about 11:30 last night from board meeting, and when I got home, Bonnie was waiting up. She says, oh, honey, come on in here and look at this. And our little 8-year-old, going to be 9 tomorrow, Julia, had worked for hours on her missionary notebook for Awana. It was so sweet. You know how hard it is to write when you're 8 or 9 years old? Seems like, you know, it's so hard. And she had written in that notebook, so sweetly, I surrender to the Lord to serve him anywhere. Yeah, and that, you know, I mean, she didn't think that up. It was part of the Awana lesson. Will you or will you not do that? And if you're smart, you say yes. You know, I mean, it was not a hard question. But you know what? With that fat, you know, they like fat markers then, and that squiggly, sweet little 8-year-old handwriting. and all this paper pasted on. It was so sweet and so labored over. But you know what I thought about? I thought, oh, to see an 8-year-old and an 18-year-old and a 28-year-old still clinging to that surrender to the will of God. Coming back to Bethel and saying, yes, I surrender all to you. And remind, and that's part of what we're supposed to do as dads and moms. We're supposed to keep track of the spiritual milestones of our children's lives, our husband and wives, and remind them of them and encourage them in that and celebrate that with them. We have 3 minutes. Let's finish these off, okay? Verse 34, Healy somehow gave an environment where Mary could experience God. I like verse 34. Mary said, the angel, I don't know this. And verse 35, the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Do you know what that is? That's the ultimate experience of God. Mary experienced God. Do you know what happened whenever the glory of God showed up in the Old Testament? Do you remember what it looked like? It was called the Shekinah. It was a blinding light. A cloud, in fact, the Shekinah cloud hovered over the top of the tabernacle, and it was so bright, it was like a gigantic light, and it lit 81 square miles of land. You say, how do you know that? Because the children of Israel, 3 million of them, 600,000 families, living with a normal-sized tent in the wilderness, it would take a minimum of 81 square miles of land to have 3 million people living in tents. That's what the people that calculate stuff have calculated. And it says that it was as bright as daytime when that Shekinah cloud was, that pillar of fire, it's called, was over the tabernacle. And that light was so bright, it was like a street light that lit from ORU out past us to, how far is 9 miles? I think it's at least to Mingo. And then from 91st Street all the way up to Admiral, that much area, just bright as day from that pillar of fire. That was the Shekinah glory. And you know what it says? It says that the Spirit of God surrounded Mary, and it must be that that cloud surrounded her as the Spirit of God put within her the Lord Jesus Christ. And that child that conceived in her was as that instant as that Shekinah cloud surrounded her. Now, we're not going to have that. Don't look for a big halo, a tube of light to come around you. But you know what? Every time you open this book, you experience God. I mean, you're not just having your devotions. You're not just checking off a box. You're not just doing your thing. You're experiencing God. I mean, it's very exciting. I look forward to it. I mean, I actually set appointments, so I have time in order to experience God on a regular basis, and I hope you do too. Here's the next one. Verse 38, Healy somehow encouraged Mary that she would serve God joyfully. And there's something neat. There's two kinds of ways people serve God. God says, here it is. And they say, okay, I surrender. Okay, I'll do it. Okay, I have to. I'm going to go, you know. That's not what she did. Look what she says in verse 38. I mean, or what Luke records. It says, and Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed, and Mary arose in those days and went with haste. At the end of verse 39, with haste. You know what that means? She was excited to obey God. She served him. She said, this is your will for my life. This is what I want to do. She went off to do it. I mean, is that how you look at it? I mean, when you find what God wants, great missionary of the past, C.T. Studd, he was a missionary in Africa, died there of an incurable illness, lived all the rest of his life with the pygmies, and every morning he'd read his Bible at 4 a.m. He got up every morning at 4 a.m., and he would read till 5:30, went back to bed till 6, and he preached starting at 6. Kind of unusual thing. He would put marks in the Bible for everything that God said he wanted him to do. And every day, he'd spend time flipping through, looking for those marks, and he'd say, Lord, I still want to do that. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do that. That's serving God joyfully and yielding to him.